my, it's the Tropecast.
Right. Well, welcome everyone. This is Adam Smithy of theappleofdiscord.com, and this is episode number 8 of the Tropecast. Today is a bit of a special episode. There's an origin to this episode we're going to get into in a couple of minutes. I just wanted to start off by saying that we're going to be talking about drinking, and it's kind of a... we're going to be having a lot of fun with drinking, but I want you to remember, while you're listening out there, to podcast responsibly, which is why joining us today, we have a designated not drinking podcaster in the form of...
I'm Liz Nelly of Adrestus, which can be found at adrestus.comicdish.com for the moment.
Also joining us today, we have the my usual partner in crime for this, co-host Alex. And we're also joined by a special guest, friend of the webcomic beacon in general, as well as Fest's keeper as much as Fest can be kept. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, Melissa
Kirscher.
Like
they don't know. Yeah. Like they don't know who you are already anyway.
Yeah. I'm Melissa Kirscher of the Geek Life podcast and Tin Lizard Productions. And I have beer. It's 11 a.m. I am ready.
So now today's topic is we're going to cover some drinking tropes. But before we cover that, I think Alex and I really kind of probably had better set the scene for this.
Yes.
Last weekend was PenguinCon. Which is a big sci-fi Linux convention that webcomics are slowly but steadily taking over, that's in Michigan. And we were there, and it was Saturday night, and I had just finished the disaster that was my live cinematic for the people, riffing of a bad anime movie experiment. No fault of my own that things fell apart, but still. So I went out into the room party environment with a limited amount of time and a decided agenda that I was going to get as hammered as possible in like the, what was it, 20 minutes we had before last call?
Yeah, it was like, right before last call. I think we were walking in as last call was being announced, so.
Yes. Fortunately, our party, which consisted of Alex, myself, Alex, myself, Onyx Sparrow, and I'm blanking on who else was there.
Chris, my boyfriend, was there too.
Chris was there, and wasn't the
Tanya's
guy with the long hair?
Yeah,
Tanya's husband was, Tanya's boy was there.
Tanya's husband-ish.
So,
I don't think it was her actual husband, though.
That's why she calls him husbandish.
Ah.
It's one of them.
Yeah.
Anyway. the good people at Barfleet were kind enough to let us in and to take pity on us, but not our internal organs. And
did
if
you
you've
get
never
the leftovers?
Had a oh yes. I got like every leftover.
What happened?
We finished off the...
Yeah, what happened was we got there, and about 5 or 10 minutes after we were in there having our first drinks, the guy at the bar yells out that they have too much alcohol and they need us all to drink the rest of their alcohol for them. So they just started filling cups and setting them on the bar, and people would just go in line and take a drink and throw back, and then get back in line and take a drink and throw back, and it, it was epic.
Oh my God!
The line actually sort of stopped really being a line until it wound up just me. Yeah, it was like just me and this guy that had been in drag all weekend. And we were just standing there taking them down one hand after another. But we did it. We accomplished the mission. We drained Barfleet's reserves before before last call and before they had to lock everything up. And then we decided we were going to keep, the party wasn't over. We were done drinking, but there was enough alcohol in us to keep us going. And I don't remember who suggested we go down to the main floor, but when we got down to the ground floor, Alex had a fantastic idea.
See, this year, well, last year they had it too, but this year they had a working Arduino skee ball machine just set up down at the end of one end of the artist alley. So I sort of saw it, I think Chris saw it in the distance and said, "Hey, we could play skee ball." And then I just started running towards it because no one else was playing it. And then we played skee ball for, what was it, like 10 or 20 minutes?
It was somewhere between 10 minutes and about 3 hours. I'm not actually sure at that point. I had a couple of Barfleet's specialty drinks, the Yukon Torpedo, floating around inside me, as well as a whole bunch of the yellow and orange stuff that they were serving. I don't know what classification they were.
The yellow stuff was hard lemonade, which was just lemonade with vodka in it. And then they had a mixy drink that was like green or orange or something like that.
Well, it was all a mixy drink by the time it went into me. But, yeah. We played some skee ball for somewhere between like 10 minutes and 3 hours. I'm not really sure. And it was at which time drunk me leans over to Alex and says, "You know what we should do? Drinking topics for the Tropecast. We should do a drunk Tropecast."
I'm pretty sure that's... Oh my god, we should.
And then we rattled off like 20 ideas for things that we were thinking of that there'd be tropes for, which it turns out there aren't actually tropes for two-thirds of this stuff.
And then
we're going to go.
One more thing about the skee ball. Then Adam decides he's going to try and do it blindfolded. So drunk and blindfolded Adam is actually pretty good at skee ball. Because he got a score of like 220 something.
It was 260, I thought. 260, you took a picture of it.
I took a picture of it.
Yes.
You were in your zen place.
On record.
Yeah, which actually brings us to our first official trope, which I can correspond to something that is on tvtropes.org, which is Drunken Master. Because, like I said, it turns out that the drunker I am and the worse I ought to be at skee ball, the better I get at skee ball. So
you totally pulled a Johnny Fever on the skee ball machine.
Yeah, we really should have been betting on money at that point because
it was 240.
Was it 240?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 260 must have been the best non-blindfolded one that I got then.
Probably,
stuck in my mind.
Well, it probably stuck in your mind because you actually saw it.
That is a point that I had not considered up until now. But yeah, so the Drunken Master is one of those tropes where a person or persons, in addition to losing certain abilities due to their drinking, while in a perfect inebriated state, also gains certain abilities, bonuses to their normal. Of course, the first thing you think of is like Drunken Master boxing for Kung Fu, but the Drunken Master can really apply to practically anything. You know, like if you were looking to create a interesting and diverse character, you might have somebody that it turns out is incredibly good at coding while drunk or something like that. or it unlocks some secret ability within them when they have enough alcohol in them.
Well, like I said earlier, Johnny fevered that thing. The WKRP in Cincinnati, there was an episode where they were trying to do a PSA about drunkenness lowering your reflexes on the radio. And so they had the DJs on the station drinking and then testing the reflexes. And Johnny Fever's reflexes kept getting better and better the drunker he got.
That didn't quite work out well, huh?
No. It was hilarious, as is most of WKRP in Cincinnati. That's an underappreciated show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I swear, with God as my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
One of the greatest things ever done on television.
It also doesn't just have to be alcohol. The Drunken Master can technically be with any number of incredibly bad for you substances. This is supposed to be a contrast to like a performance enhancing thing. This is not, you know, like, oh yes, it turns out that major league baseball player can hit things much better when he's full of steroids. No, this is like, you know, the brick that is tied around me, instead of weighing me down, balances me out perfectly so that I can walk in a straight line, sort of thing. Because it's got a couple of, I'm just reading through any number of the different things. I know one of the big things that bugged people with Heroes was Isaac. Isaac's superpowers were kicked in and worked only when he was chocked full of heroin, which should really not have allowed him to paint prophetic pictures of the future, but apparently did. Mm-hmm.
It also reminds me of there's a play by Tom Stoppard called Rough Crossing. Tom Stoppard being the guy who did Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. And I remember reading this play, and there's a scene where one of the characters is really drunk, but he's in a scene with all the other characters, and they're on a boat, and the boat is rocking. So the stage instructions are everybody has to sway in time with each other except for the drunk guy. He's standing perfectly straight on stage because his swaying is canceling out what's happening on the boat. I've always wanted to try staging that scene, but never got a chance.
Let's see what else. Trying to think some other characters. Oh, well, there's of course the one of the underappreciated Broken Lizard movies, Beer Fest, where it turns out that one of the characters is not just good, but incredibly good at drinking games, but only when drinking. Like, he can't practice sober because he's terrible, but and it also reminds me of a story, and I know this is from the Weekly World News. I'm going to start off by saying that. So this is the beautiful thing about the Weekly World News during its run is they'd always pepper in these occasional real stories to add just a scotch of credibility, you know, because Bat Boy and JFK running a Waffle House and stuff like that. And then they'd throw in something that you might actually hear on the news that was weird, but actually true. So whether this is weird, but actually true, or just completely and totally BS that they made up, your mileage may vary on it. But I distinctly remember, and this has always stuck with me, there was a guy who could not drive a car unless he was drunk. Because he had some sort of like highly excitable nervous condition, and whenever he'd get behind the wheel of a car, he would start having an absolute freak out panic attack. But if he'd been drinking, the drinking canceled out the panic attack, And it turned him into like a perfect, like the DMV ran him through like every test they could have, and he scored a perfect score and could like parallel park on a dime. But only once he had reached a certain level of alcohol, and as soon as he started to sober up, he like ditched the car and ran away screaming. So, nice. so, that is, and of course we can't talk about Drunken Masters without, as I mentioned at the beginning, Jackie Chan and,
yes.
The Drunken Master series of movies, which, I'm not really. Sometimes the revisionist stuff bugs me. I really like the 70s style wushu movies, but I did really like the newest Drunken Master that they did with him. That was a more modern contemporary, like
Drunken
much
Master.
More cleanly.
Drunken Master 2, Legend of the Drunken Master.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
It's
one of my favorite movies of all time. I love it. It's a wonderful combination of comedy and action. Some really good action sequences in that film.
Yes, and as they said, as they showed throughout the movie, the secret to being a real drunken master is balance.
Yes.
Not balance like not falling over, but balance like, because no matter how much the alcohol may raise your skills, at some point in time, the alcohol will flatten you to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. Anybody else hit any tropes that they particularly, that struck them as being particularly, discussion worthy while they were, looking through?
Well, your Yukon Torpedo is definitely an example of a gargle blaster.
Oh, yes.
Didn't the guy say something like, these ingredients don't like each other and they certainly don't like you, before everybody threw it back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every year Barfleet does a different thing, and I don't want to steal too much of their gig because we love them and the things that they do for convention goers. So
yeah,
if
you really
you're going to
experience a Barfleet party yourself.
Yeah, if you're going to a convention where Barfleet is at, you should go and you should tell them we sent you. And that will mean nothing to them, because by the time we start drinking with Barfleet, we're not introducing ourselves anymore. We're just like, I need booze. So, but I'm
if
trying
you
to remember
can get into
last
a Barfleet party.
Yeah, that's the other.
Their parties are always invite only, which I don't think they let you do at PenguinCon, which is why it was an open party.
I've seen some of the bigger ones they've organized too. I think they, I don't remember which one, but they were at a fairly large convention. They're not the sort that are going to, frequent like anime conventions or anything. We're talking sci-fi grown up conventions and stuff. But I'm trying to remember some of the, cause they changed the story that they tell about the Yukon Torpedo every year. But I'm trying, last year it was something like when they tried to cross state lines, the police actually stopped him, looked at the ingredients and said that they couldn't let him into the state. And then when he eventually convinced the police to let them through, they said that he had to give a warning. And the warning was, whatever you do, do not drink this. So, but yeah, the at PenguinCon, and I didn't get to do it this year, and I'm kind of upset about it. But at PenguinCon, I have a tradition, which I started my first PenguinCon and did last year too. And I was hoping to really do a good one this year, but the schedule just did not play out for me. Where I go to each of the room parties and challenge whatever their signature drink is. And then if I can defeat it, which means I'm still upright and it's not the one that took me off my feet, I take a trophy of some sort of party and move on. Which is why those who've seen... sometimes it's a ribbon. If you've seen the... There's a great picture of me floating around where... it's Sunday morning. I have really dark sunglasses on and I'm like asleep at my booth. And Hal, well, I have a Tom Servo puppet of my own. He's like a black and white servo that I built out of stuff. Because I do that in addition to comics, because nobody reads my comic or buys anything of mine unless it's interesting on its own merit. So I've started taking and selling Tom Servo puppets to conventions too. But I have one of my own named Hal. And Hal was sitting on the table with a sombrero on, holding a sign which said, I drank so much last night that my robot puppet is drunk. So, but Gargle Blaster from anyone, anyone.
Where does Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
The full technical name is the Pangalactic Gargle Blaster. Which did you guys go to the Milliways party from last year at PenguinCon, the Hitchhiker themed one?
Yes.
Yeah, they had a version of the Pangalactic Gargle Blaster there, which I tried. And it was lemony, and it may have involved Goldschlager. I don't remember, but they served it in a little blinking LED shot glass.
That was my trophy from the Milliways party.
So, the Gargle Blaster is one of those drinks where in fiction there's usually a hush around the bar when someone orders it.
Because yeah, it is not just the most powerful weaponized alcohol they have, but usually it has a certain degree of tradition surrounding it too. It's not just booze. This is like legendary booze.
Yeah.
This is this is booze that the bartender can tell you like a 20-minute long story about the inception of the booze.
Inception.
Wow.
I'm trying to.
Sorry, I tried to do the inception just, why, and that didn't work.
Booze.
This isn't just in fiction either. I'm trying to, let's see. There's the TV Tropes page for this has a long laundry list of signature drinks that are in real life. And it's the real life thing is larger than I think I normally ever see a real life thing for anything on there. I'm trying to remember. There was a bar in Canada that had a signature drink, which was like tequila and something else that had a mummified human toe floating in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's nasty.
Yes. That's nasty. Yes, it is.
In a totally awesome way. That's like upping the tequila worm.
Hey, I was just thinking, do you have to eat the mummified human toe when you finish it, like the tequila worm, or?
I've heard. Oh, here it is. It's called the Sour Toe Cocktail, which is basically any alcoholic drink with an amputated toe floating in it, usually donated by a victim of severe frostbite, because this is the Yukon Territory in Canada. The toe must touch the lips of the drinker for them to qualify as a member of the Sour Toe Cocktail Club. So, be horrified. This does actually exist.
So it's real toe we're talking about.
We're talking a real toe.
Oh yeah, this is a real human toe.
Ugh.
Donated. I think there was originally was like a guy, if I'm remembering the story correctly, there was like a guy who lost his toe and figured that if you put it like in vodka or something, you would keep it. And he was one of the owners of the bar or something. So that's how the toe got in there in the first place. And then it sort of became like a dare for people to drink the vodka from the toe vodka. And then it evolved into this like whole tradition they've got where now people who lose their toes in, like that are frequent this bar, if they lose a toe, like donate their toes to the bar so that they can add them to the supply that they have for this cut. And apparently, yes, there have been occasionally people who've like accidentally drank it or so occasionally they need a new toe.
You know, suddenly that scene from Poltergeist 2 doesn't seem so scary anymore.
Which scene?
The scene with the giant tequila worm.
I think this is a movie you're going to have to show
yeah.
me.
Yeah! That scene. Truly the only memorable thing about Poltergeist 2.
Alrighty!
Now that I've killed this one dead.
So is that an actual, is that on the on the TV Tropes I can put a link to, or?
That is on the TV Tropes. It's buried way down in the Gargle Blaster entry, but let me see if I can find a better reference for it. Somebody else talk about a different trope while I'm trying to find the horrible thing.
Well, there are a couple of tropes which may not be on TV Tropes, but are certainly going to happen in movies and in like drinking party scenes. I mentioned Adam at PenguinCon, the guy with the lampshade on his head.
So who has lampshades anymore?
Right, but
okay, I am posting a link right now in the chat, and Chet Fest can put this up later too. But click with care. Because it actually has like pictures of toes and stuff, so if you're at all squeamish, you're going to want to not look at this. But it's got the fact about like where did it start and all of that fun stuff. So,
oh, gross.
Fast just looked.
Well, now I know what to do if I ever amputate anything. Which life goes.
Donate your body to alcohol.
Donate my body to alcohol.
Actually, there is a lampshade wearing trope. That is one of the ones there. That's actually in here. But yeah, I think the lampshade along with like the tying your necktie around your forehead.
Yeah,
if
that was what
you
I was
got
thinking
one of those,
from anime.
It's one of those like, wow, look at how crazy when you. You know, it might have been interesting at some point, but now when you put the lampshade on your head, what you're saying is, look at how hard I'm trying to look like I'm wild and crazy.
It's a little bit of a discredited trope now.
Now, is it a trope to draw on people with Sharpie markers
after
they passed out?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And or otherwise deface their and humiliate their bodies?
Drawing penises that's, on their face.
I think we're going to have to link the Cheeseburger Network. They have like a whole line of, I think it's called like After Hours or something like that, of pictures of the after events of what happened after someone's passed out. And also like stacking stuff on top of the passed out guy is
oh,
one.
Yeah. Ooh, that's things on drunk people. Yeah.
We just got like in the UK. Zoe Robinson of ZoeRobinson.com just tweeted, texted to me and said, "In the UK, the lampshade is replaced with a traffic cone."
Ooh, I've done that.
It seemed like it'd be very heavy though, unless you got like the little soccer ones. But
well,
like,
when you're drunk enough, traffic. It doesn't matter.
I suppose that's true.
And the uncomfortableness is balanced out by the comedy value.
Yes.
And at least in America, the traffic cone still works. I totally got away with it at Convergence last year.
One of the ones that we did not find in TV Tropes that surprises me They've got a page for it, but there's nothing in it, which makes me think that somebody decided to, like, rename it to something else. There's a lot of TV Tropes is a constantly shifting, like there's all these things moving around underneath it. So it's probably in there somewhere.
It's like
but
the movie desert.
One of the ones that's one of the ones that's always got me is beer goggles. You know, the effect of drinking and not only people of the other sex and occasionally the same sex appearing significantly more viable as partners that evening, but also any idea seeming significantly more reasonable, like trying to do an entire trope cast off of drunk tropes that you came up with. You were drunk.
This is a fantastic idea at the time.
Yeah, it completely and totally made sense when I had some blood in my alcohol stream, but now it's but yeah, the beer goggles, and that's another. You can do that to there are certain things that you can and cannot do to your own characters when you are writing something. And if you're looking for a great way to give somebody the idiot ball for a story arc or something and have them do something that is just uncharacteristically dumb of them, putting some booze in them first is a great qualifier. Because, you know, yes, my character is smart enough not to normally go randomly pushing buttons on the particle accelerator. But if he's drunk and maybe spilled some on it and then is trying to, like, wipe him up and he's hitting everything with the rag and stuff. Yeah, no, completely and totally reasonable there. And it doesn't derail the character as long as you've established that this is a character that does drink occasionally, because you don't have to go wild. You can afford to go wildly off type with a character that you're creating and writing when they're drinking, because some people, you know, I personally am a very happy drunk. I have what has been described as like magical love powers. I'm the sort that like leans over and go, I love you. No, seriously, I love you. I don't know why I don't say stuff like this more often, but you are awesome. And I am so, yeah, no. And to complete strangers, even. if I've been drinking, so, but there are other people that are, you know, like the angsty, brooding, quiet drunk, or the suddenly incredibly turned on drunk, or
the angry drunk,
and it's
the,
like a
the giggle.
I am giggle drunk,
giggle. I'm asleep drunk.
Oh my god! Yeah, I get very silly when I'm drunk.
See, I just fall asleep after anything with alcohol in it, like, almost immediately. Just pass out. Doesn't matter what it is, hence why I don't drink.
Light. So does my boyfriend.
The lightweight drunk.
Yeah, there we go. I look at something with alcohol and just fall asleep.
Yeah, my problem is, I'm, for those who have never seen a picture of me, I'm like 6'4" and weigh a little over 300 pounds. And so it takes a sizable quantity of alcohol to get me drunk. And by the time I've reached the point where I am drunk, there is no buzzed. There is no tipsy. I go all in. It's I'm like fine, hammered.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go directly to drunk.
Yes.
Melissa. If we're on this topic, I'd like to go through everybody to see what their drunken state normally is. And Melissa.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not entirely sure if I've seen you smashed before. I've seen you tipsy for sure. I'm not sure where your level is.
It
It depends. I generally have a tolerance that is beyond what is reasonable for a human being, and I don't know why. There was one party I was at. It was a scotch tasting party. I had 18 shots of scotch, and I walked out of there. I'm not a heavy human being. But,
So what happens to you as more liquor goes in? Yeah. What happens to you as more liquor goes in? What kind of person do you turn into or increase to be?
You know, I don't know if I change all that much. I think I'm a little bit more of an agent for chaos than even normal.
Various safety aspects are thrown out the window as you drink.
Yeah. Well, no, not necessarily. I'll never hop in a car after I've been drinking.
Well,
yeah. You know, like if I've had one beer, that doesn't count. But you know, it's the
it blocks some of those subconscious filters that stop you from thinking the more interesting thoughts that are probably always lurking in the back of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, what if I did do this? You know, and what happens when I push that? And
oh, yeah. It's like, ooh, yay. I also kind of become a wonder hostess. And I think I say that because I'm usually heavily drinking at movie nights that I host. So I'll be sitting on the floor because I usually sit on the floor at home, whatever reason. But I'm sitting on the floor. Oh, yeah. There's water in there. And oh, do you want a cookie? We have food in here. And oh, I can't stand up. That sort of thing.
Melissa's witnessed me get drunk one time.
You are silly.
Apparently I was starting to speak in an accent.
Yeah, you turned Irish one night. It was amazing.
I am typically the very lovey sort of kind of want to hug everybody sort of I like to talk even more.
Yeah, it's amazing. All of his neuroses are
magnified.
An astonishing degree, and then he falls asleep.
I mean, I think I can understand fully quantum physics at that point, you know.
Well, he thinks.
Well, yeah. The other thing is I discovered that when I think, okay, I can have one more drink and before I get sick, I know that when I think that means I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I tried that. Nope, I got sick after I had that one more drink, but... And of course, we have our designated not drinker here with us. And what happens when you don't drink?
When I don't drink, I don't fall asleep randomly. No, I swear, I have had a couple of drinks every once in a while, but I don't like the taste of alcohol, first of all. And when I do drink, I don't see the fun in it because I immediately fall asleep. So it's like, okay, you know what? I'll have more fun watching everybody else drink and laughing at them. And then telling them the stupid stuff they did later.
Yeah, I very rarely get drunk. I mean, that usually when I am drinking, it's a drink or two, because I rarely drink to get drunk. I tend to... I have chronic back problems and neck problems, so a drink is enough to loosen all the back muscles. It's like, yeah. Oh, that's nice. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can
so what
drink
about
a,
you,
a,
Alex?
Hmm? Me, I get very giggly and kind of silly, and I like to dance, and I just kind of get a little more touchy-feely than I am normally. I tend to molest my boyfriend a lot when I'm drunk. And, you know, karaoke is way more fun inebriated. My parents throw a cocktail party once a year in the spring, and they go, like, all out. They spend, like, $300 on alcohol. Just, you know, for their friends and everything. And usually it's like about 80 people show up to this party every year. And actually this year was kind of low key. They're only like maybe 40. So it was actually kind of fun and not too crowded and everything like that. But yeah, it gets pretty rowdy. And we have we borrow our friend's karaoke machine. And yeah, it's a good time. I tend to behave very badly when I've been drinking. And like Adam, I'm a fat person, so it takes more than a few drinks to actually get me any dose of inebriated, and then it's usually by the time I've had enough, then I am already way over the line into drunk. So yeah.
I also remember that you got pinker, but I think that may have just been your dress. That was that I got.
Oh right.
I got pictures. No. I got pictures from. Let me post the. Here I got a picture.
Boy. My cupcake.
I put this
dress.
Up on. It was an awesome cupcake dress, though. Here.
I love that dress so much. I bought
here,
that
this is
for
the
party that my parents threw this year. It's like the most expensive.
There, I put it up on.
Bought myself, but it was for my birthday.
I don't remember taking this picture.
I don't remember you taking it either. I don't remember posing for this picture.
But it was on my phone when we we got done.
Oh,
I love those photos. You go. When did that happen?
Yeah,
that's where I become very, very appreciative of the tagging capabilities of an iPhone. It's look up the GPS location. Oh, that's where that was.
Huh. This is the last photo on my phone of that evening that isn't of the wall or the carpet or my thumbs.
How you shot, Webb?
All right, we're going to take a quick break here so that Fess can play some sound clips at you.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. And now back to our show.
Alex did some of this last when she was at PenguinCon. I missed it because I was in a different panel, and I only got to the second half of the Beacon panel.
You went over it before you got in. So
yeah,
I've authored a preliminary list of rules for the Webcast Beacon Network drinking game.
Yes.
And so I think we should
just go through it.
Yeah,
disclaimer.
Yeah, just go through it.
We need a disclaimer here, though.
Do not do this.
Disclaimer.
You don't necessarily have to use alcohol.
This is a terrible idea. You've been warned. Okay. So you drink when Mark talks about no one reading his comic. When Mark speaks in the mauve voice, like, oh, jeez.
No.
When Tanya talks about boobs. When Fess cackles.
Oh, boy.
Everybody drink.
Anytime someone tells a pun. And another rule we added during the panel, anytime Fess justifies the production being a mess. Okay, when Fess goes on a rant, you chug until he's finished. And you finish your drink when anyone mentions Melissa, a.k.a. Chibudikin.
Hi.
When Tanya and Fess argue about science and or semantics. When Tanya falls off Skype. And when Tanya's connection slows down and she gets the underwater robot voice. And when someone talks about Star Trek. And then we have some additional rules for the Tropecast and Newscast. The one rule I had for the Tropecast at the con was whenever I start speaking trope speak, because I tend to do that. And I know we've got some more rules we'll go over in a second that we came up with over Twitter last night. And for the Newscast, you drink when Ross ends the show with peanut butter and jelly. When any new e-comic or e-book reader is released. And when someone spells Exern.
I would like to change that to when you hear peanut butter and jelly, finish your drink.
Yeah, that's probably a better idea.
Also, if anybody has to spell anything ever, take a drink.
I feel like that's too broad, and this game is already so lethal as it is.
You need to spill any URLs.
Well, yeah, I got... these are some of my suggested additions. Let's see here. Whenever Fest starts a new project.
Yeah. Well, I already finished my drink whenever he does that.
Let's see. It's a life every time camp. Yeah, every time on the Tropecast, we manage to somehow detour the discussion to giant robots.
I knew that was coming.
every time Fest says, so anyway, webcomics, to try and underail a discussion, it's not horribly wrong. Anytime Onyx Sparrow is on for any reason whatsoever. Let's see. Oh, yeah. To balance Fez's projects and Mark's lack of readership, anytime Tanya mentions her lack of actual webcomic. Let's see. I thought I had some more. Ones that... And then Tanya pointed out on Twitter that if we actually follow these rules, it will kill everyone.
Yes.
Dead of alcohol
heavy,
poisoning.
Heavy disclaimers here.
Yeah, do not... Maybe sip. Maybe sip. Instead of drink.
Don't
and
do shots
like
with
shot instead of finish your drink, and then you might survive
an episode.
Might possibly survive an episode. Yeah. Let's see. What other? Oh, for the Tropecast, how about anytime there's more than 5 seconds of awkward silence?
That's going.
I usually edit that out. Actually,
Fest needs to have a sound
that's
effect.
That's why you need to play the drinking game during the live shows, people.
I don't know if you listen to the show after I complete it, but I edit out dead air if I can.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding? I barely listen to the show while we're doing it.
I do listen to the show just because I like, you know, hearing my own brilliance. But I didn't notice that.
I haven't listened to any of the Tropecasts I've been on, but I listen to the other ones while I'm at work. So I'll play the drinking game with my bottle of water.
You're going to have to pee a lot.
Well, that's okay. I look for any excuse to get away from my desk.
I was like, really?
Well, I got another one for the Tropecast.
Ooh.
Okay.
Anytime I manage to bring up the Ninja Turtles Forever movie. Because I vaguely remember, I like brought that up like 3 or 4 times the first like 3 or 4 Tropecasts that we did. I somehow managed to link that to, that was like the old giant robots. Now we have actual giant robots instead. But let's see. No. I'll take a shot because that was 5 seconds of
silence. Well, 5 seconds. I thought you said 5 minutes. No, I okay.
Dang it, I'm out of alcohol.
Oh, how about anytime Fess starts talking on a podcast that he's not technically on?
Mm. Well, I thought I was invited to this one.
You were, but we didn't actually even introduce you.
You just kind of
started talking, like, and you're like, ooh, I know what I want to say. What happens when we do this? Yeah.
You just kind of walked out of nowhere like Kane in Kung Fu.
Sorry.
If you can snatch the shot glass from my hand.
Now, didn't Star Trek have its own kind of drinking tropes? Everybody drink.
Oh, yeah. Lots of things have drinking games. Even TV tropes.
Yeah, TV tropes is a drinking game.
Yeah, a drinking game for TV Tropes Wiki itself.
I know that one of the rules is you take a drink whenever you see the word egregious.
Oh, man.
And that's the only rule I remember.
Although I was more saying, like, within Star Trek canon, there are drinking tropes specific to Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. Like, synthahol. You know, the I can't believe it's not actually alcohol that seems to be doing just fine for everybody until you get somebody who actually knows what real alcohol tastes like, and then they're like, then I do my James Doohan impression, which I can't actually do right now, but
you're not drunk enough yet.
Yeah, I am not drunk enough to be Scotty just yet. Let's see.
Captain, what, there be whales here. No, sorry, I like that line.
Well, I actually did one of the parody Star Trek comics ends with the hover text, which unfortunately was lost. Well, it's I'll post the link up to it, but it's they're like the end joke is that not Scotty tells the new ensign that they tell the captain that it's going to take them 4 hours to do an hour long job. And he's like, that way when he needs it really fast, we can we can speed it up to 2 hours. And he's like, but why would it still take us 2 hours to do a 1 hour long job? And then it's because we be drinking. The cover text was, Captain, there be ale here. But unfortunately, the hover text, as well as just about everything else on the Apple of Discord, is currently broken. So maybe that should be a thing. Every time I critically mess up my own comics website.
Take a drink.
Yeah, take a drink every time I don't actually know how to work CSS, it turns out. But yeah, the TV Tropes drinking game is it will kill you, possibly faster than our drinking game would. What about since I do want to try and tie this into webcomics on a couple of levels.
Anyway, webcomics.
When I think of drinking in comics, the thing that I always think of was College Roommates from Hell. Because they kicked off one of the big, like, serious game changers for the comic. Early on, when they had the three male protagonists all go out on a massive, like, bar hopping drinking thing, and that was the night that somehow, like, when they wake up the next morning, they all have developed, like, weird superpowers and mutations. Like, Mike had a tentacle arm, and I think Dave had a like an eyeball in his hand, and I don't remember what the other guy's name was or what was wrong with him, but that was like a big thing, and then they repeated it several years later with the girls. And then I, as an homage to that, the official kickoff to Apple Valley was several of my characters going out getting drunk, winding up on the other side of the country, and realizing that since they were now in an ongoing comic instead of the joke a day, it wasn't going to snap back, and they were going to have to figure out how to get home on their own. Because I'm a mean author. So, anybody else have any strong memories of alcohol-related things in webcomics?
Just recently, the main character in Shadowbinders, Mia, got drunk and she was hiccuping.
Oh yeah, the drunk is definitely on here.
That's the alcohol hiccup.
How many people actually get hiccups when they drink?
I have never done that.
Sometimes I do if I get like a fit of giggling and, you know. It happens because you're not breathing correctly. And, like, but hiccups generally tend to like hang around a long time because they're stupid like that. So, if I start hiccuping, then I find it really funny, and so I laugh more, which makes me hiccup more, and it's just a vicious cycle.
That's actually on alcohol hic at the introduction paragraph, since alcohol reduces inhibitions and can make even the most boring things hilariously funny, a prolonged fit of the giggles, chuckles, or outright cackling laughter provokes a case of hiccups.
Yep. That's, so. That's me. Giggly drunk.
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I'm remembering that there was one of the myriad of like author characters in Bob and George, I think, was a like drunken master for like robot design or something. Like he couldn't, whatever it was he was supposed to be able to do, he was terrible at it. But when they got him drunk, it turned out he was really good at it. What else? Any other like standout alcohol related comic things? Anybody in the chat got anything they want to suggest?
I did do a comic about my Everclear story. Which is...
Do you want to tell your Everclear story?
Yeah, might as well.
Sure. A couple of years ago, I went to... I don't remember if it was a Halloween party or a housewarming party, but it was in the fall sometime. So, my friends had made this really awesome punch. It was really tasty and fruity and shit, and I'd had a couple glasses of it when I stood up and I was suddenly hit by a truck of drunk. And I'm like, what was in that punch, guys? And it turned out that the punch had started its life as 2 gallons of Everclear. Which they had just added other things to until it tasted palatable, which included like a bottle of coconut rum and pineapple rum as well.
Jesus.
As well as like maybe some 7-Up and like fruit juice or something like that. So I'd had probably 16 to 20 ounces of this beverage. And so I was smashed for about 3 to 5 hours at least. And the next day I had to go to work and I was a miserable, miserable human being. That's my and any time I encounter Everclear after that, it has not ended well for me.
I had a.
If you know what Everclear is, it is 100% grain alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
100% or 100 yes. proof?
It's like 190 proof.
So, okay, all right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So 95%.
It's like illegal to buy it in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a similar story. Years ago, I was drafted by a friend of mine to, they said to me, the words that came out of their mouth were, hey, you should come up to the college this weekend because we're having a Renaissance festival.
Those are dangerous words.
the words that they meant to say were, I intend to dress you up on a hot late spring day in wool clothes and make you carry around tables for 12 hours. But I came up anyway because I'm dumb. I got conscripted into helping the SCA? Yeah, set up a giant Renaissance festival in the park. And it turns out that I was like, there wasn't originally a strong man on the Renaissance Festival roster, but it turns out that because I could pick up like 2 of the 8-foot-long tables at a time and carry them over my head along with about 10 chairs balanced on top of them, that I became the strong man. With like people seeing how much stuff they could pile on top of me. And I was like, no, seriously, they need these tables on the other end of the park. Why are you doing that? So that evening they had a very large party, at one of the people's like houses that was just off campus. And they had a giant, it was like a steel basin, you know, like the sort that like people used to wash themselves in back in the old days, lined with plastic, because I'm pretty sure the stuff they were making in it could have eaten through the metal. And When asked, they said that the official name for what they were making was Johnny Jump Up. And when I asked what had gone into it, they advised that some apples had fallen into it and dissolved.
Yeah.
I don't remember the rest of the evening, but I remember the guy that looked like Bluto from Popeye, who was like the sheriff of the town in the Renaissance Festival, went out to sleep on the roof of the porch from the second story window, and we found him the next morning face first down on the lawn, which tells me that he fell off the roof at some point in time and didn't even notice.
So, hooray, muscle relaxation.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that is the one thing definitely say is a benefit to drinking, is you can take some damage in stride that you would not normally have. Like, stuff bounces off of you. You're, 'cause you're limber, flowing, you're moving, you're not all stiff and rigid, and then you become like the landlord in Kung Fu Hustle when people try to hit you. But the guy falling off the roof brings me to probably the final leg of the trope thing, and it's appropriate that we wind up on this note, which is the hangover and hangover cures.
Ah, yes.
Because I don't know, I don't actually get hungover that much, but that's because I usually balance my alcohol with a steady intake of water.
Yeah.
And water, for me at least, seems to be the real cure to it, because it's like one part, oh my God, what did I do? And one part, like, severe dehydration. Mm-hmm. So I still have the, oh my God, what did I do? But I don't have the severe dehydration. So, you know, they depict hangovers a lot of different ways in the media and various different things. Sensitivity to bright lights and loud noises being one of them.
The sunglasses at work thing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Bloodshot eyes.
Bloodshot eyes. The hairy tongue.
Having a penis drawn on your forehead. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
One time after... it was after Saturday night at Kineticon a couple of years ago. The next morning, I was not only hungover, but I also accidentally ate spoiled cream cheese. So I also had mild food poisoning.
Ooh.
That was not a good day for Alex.
So I was like during nauseous.
No, that was the next morning.
Was that
I had bagels and cream cheese with me, and the cream cheese had accidentally turned because I left it out the day before. And,
see, I've eaten some weird stuff while drinking. Like, anybody who follows me on Twitter knows that about once a month, my wife and I will ditch the baby with her mother, and we will stay up as late as the evening allows us, drinking and watching Star Trek The Next Generation. Usually you can tell that this is happening because I try to hashtag everything with like drunk track, and there's usually a bunch of references to people yelling "Shut up, Beverly," because it turns out that when you're drunk, you really appreciate exactly how useless Dr. Beverly Crusher was.
Just the name. I mean, Beverly not only is hilarious to me. It's just one of those
games. Yeah, not only is she like, you know, yes, I know, we have a machine that can completely and totally take people apart and put them together in an entirely different place, but I don't know what to do about this hangnail. I'm afraid you're just going to have to... No, and the fact that she's the mother of Wes. So, yeah, the drinking brings out the ire of the shut up, Beverly... Unless, of course, we're happening to watch a season 2 episode, and then it's like, woohoo, Dr. Pulaski, actually able to fix things. The first time we did this, I do not know how this combination... I remember exactly how this combination actually came up with, but we started out with, like, we had some plain animal cracker cookies and some vanilla frosting. And we were eating cookies and frosting. And then we ran out of cookies. And then we started eating anything else and frosting. Wow. Like Fritos.
And frosting.
Celery. Well, we had celery and frosting. That was pretty close to... Yeah, so
this
and
is
then,
how
like,
fusion
the
cuisine
morning,
is made.
Yeah, the next morning, I didn't really have the headache, but my stomach was like, oh my God, what did you do to me? I just regained feeling it. Oh no.
Yeah, I had like stomach cramps and nausea, and just like taking the elevator was just agonizing.
So I got a story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know you're shocked. Shocked. About 10 years ago.
Was it about Elvis Costello or something?
No, it's not, no famous people involved in this one. For a change. I was heading out of town for over a month. I was going to spend some time on archaeological digs in Spain. So, you know, it was my last evening in town, and my boyfriend at the time says, we're going to go out to eat. So we went out to Buca di Beppo, which is this big family-style Italian restaurant. And they have, awesome. You know, really huge bottles of wine you can buy. And he wound up getting a really huge bottle of wine just for the two of us. And whenever I was talking or had my head turned away or distracted, he was refilling my wine glass just a little bit at a time. So I thought I'd had only maybe a glass, but really I had drank a liter and a half of red wine over the course of about 90 minutes.
Wow.
So I was really quite drunk and giggly for about 30 minutes. And then I was sick. Like, he probably should have taken me to the doctor to have my stomach pumped, sort of sick. This was the only time I've ever been really, really, really sick from alcohol. So we wound up at his house, and I got my revenge by ruining the carpet in his bathroom. it was red sauce and wine that had been pre-processed in my stomach. It was very, very bad.
Icky.
So I was sick. So I started becoming sober sometime around 8 in the morning, and I still hadn't packed for Spain.
Oh, God.
So I had to rush home with a raging hangover, pack, upload a website that I was trying to finish, and head to the airport, and then sit for 9 hours on a flight to Spain. All the while, there's this Texan sitting next to me going, well, you want one of these drinks? Because, you know, overseas flights, they actually give you little bottles of alcohol. I couldn't even look at the damn thing. So it's like, no, God, I can't touch it. No,
get it
away. Can I have yours? Yes, please, just take it. No. God. I didn't drink for like 4 months after that. It was just bad.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I ruined carpeting.
I'm trying to remember. There was a stand-up comedian. I think it may have been George Carlin. And one of the things that when he was relating something about drinking was the phrase, I don't care about my shoes anymore. Or when you start throwing up, you know. There's like a fine line between the having someone else holding your hair back and, like, you know, the all of the euphemisms for throwing up in a toilet, and then the I don't care about my shoes anymore. These shoes yes. can be washed.
Yes. Yes. I was in the I don't care about my shoes anymore phase.
Horrible hangover cures. You know, there's always
water.
That's another trope. Ish sort of thing. Well, water's
like
an
the
actual
real thing.
Hangover cure. Yeah, I'm talking about like
that's like
the guy that pours like ground coffee and a bottle of aspirin and two eggs and a lava lamp into a blender. Yeah, horseradish.
I was just like, dude, just drink this. Works like a charm.
Hair of the dog.
And of course the there's always hair of the dog, especially if you're at some of the conventions. Because I'm pretty sure at PinguaCon it is possible to just continuously marinate yourself from when you get there Friday until when they chase you out on Sunday. There are, not only is it possible, there are people who will enable you.
Mm-hmm. This guy gave me some cherry vodka like on Friday afternoon when I hadn't really eaten since like noon, and so I was like drunk for about 20 minutes before I decided I should probably go up to the con suite and eat something because this isn't good. It's hard to draw ponies when you're drunk. I have to do ponies sober.
That's like a truism of life. It's hard to do draw ponies when you're drunk.
Well, I think that it might possibly be easier for me to draw ponies when I'm drunk because I've tried. Believe me, I would totally abuse ponies all the time in my comic if I could draw them. I've got like one comic where there's a My Little Pony ripoff thing, and all we find out at the end is that glitter glue is made of My Little Ponies. So,
yeah, that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got time for one more drinking story. I got another convention drinking story.
All right.
It's about giant robots, so everybody take a shot.
Everybody take a drink.
Yep.
Toracon last year. Toracon is a New York small college convention, and I went there with Hillary and Poe of Errant Story, because in addition to having my own comic, I am frequently also like their Sherpa and will carry their stuff around for them at bigger conventions that I couldn't normally get invited to myself. But I went to Toracon with them, and I have a panel I'm running this year at a few of the conventions, and I tested it out last year at Toracon, which was called A Brief History of Giant Robots. It's as much giant robot crap as I can fit into an hour. Like starting with like Talos, the giant bronze man that protected Greece, all the way through the most current anime series that they have. I was on Saturday at like 3 p.m. There was someone else at the convention, and I never found out who that other person was that had a similarly titled History of Mecha. You know, not nearly the flair or the dramatic whatever that I put into mine. And they were like 9 o'clock Saturday or 9 o'clock Friday night, because this was just a 2-day Friday and Saturday convention. Maybe it was Saturday and Sunday. But anyway, they were like 9 o'clock the first night, and then I was 3 o'clock in the afternoon the second day. So at first, I'm like, I'm not going to go. I don't want to, you know, I'm a little offended that they're doing the exact same thing I did. So I decide I'm not going to go. We go out, and Hillary, Michael Poe's wife, orders like we go to this dive bar and order an orgy of fast food, like, appetizers, because it's like half price appetizers, so we're getting giant plates of onion rings and stuff for like $1.50. So we just had appetizers, and she gets this giant tankard of fairly strong like cider, and she drinks maybe 3 sips of it and says she doesn't want it. So I say, all right, fine, I'll take it. And so I drink it, and apparently it was really strong cider. So they drop me back off. I decide halfway through the meal that I'm going to go see what the other person is doing purely for academical research. That way, if I'm covering like entirely the same stuff they're covering, I have the rest of that night to tweak my like PowerPoint presentation so that I can have a better show that has different stuff and also be better at it than they were. So I get, they take me back and leave me at the convention, and I get there probably 10 minutes into when this person should be. And it's like up a hill and then down two flights of stairs, and I'm fat and I've been drinking and I'm sweating and I'm panting, and I get there and all these people are streaming out because the person never showed.
Oh.
And in this inspired moment of, you know what? I can do this. The alcohol tells me so. I say, hey, everybody. This isn't my panel. I'm the one with the same panel tomorrow. But you want to hear about some giant robots? So I take over this other guy's panel. And I'm like leaning on the podium and like I'm talking into the microphone like this because I'm like swaying, and I don't have my PowerPoint presentation or any of my notes, but I do have a giant like college education style whiteboard. So I start drawing everything that I'm talking about, and the hour long panel runs almost 2 hours long. And we run into like stuff that I was never planning on. Like there's probably at the end of it, I'm like, okay, I don't want to ruin this for anyone here. So if you don't want to know this, leave, because I am going to explain to you what in the hell was going on in Neon Genesis Evangelion. And that's like a half an hour right there of me explaining, because there's a bunch of stuff with Evangelion that they do not even try to explain, that you have to buy the video game in order to get part of the story. And it's like, yeah, in episode 22, if you pause the screen and turn it upside down and blow it up at 400 times magnification, in the back, you can see one of the computer screens has this picture frozen on it and this little blurb of text that explains that the Geofront was actually an alien time capsule sent from another planet, and they've got all of this stuff. So, yeah, it runs almost 2 hours long. I'm swaggering. I'm throwing markers. I do an improvised rocket punch with somebody's empty drink cup. And it's beautiful. And unfortunately, since we weren't recording it or anything, that is probably going to go down as the best panel I have or ever will do.
Oh, of course.
And of course, and it's not just me, because, you know, I know everything seems like a better idea when you're drinking, a la today's show. But like, I found, you know, out of curiosity, like a week later, I Googled like Adam Smithy giant robots, and I found like three or four people who'd actually blogged about my panel afterwards. And that was such a great feeling, because it was like, you know, wow, these people are actually talking about me getting up there and making ass out of myself while drunk. And they loved it. One of the people, the best comment, I think the best praise possibly I've ever had that I've done, was somebody said, if I was stuck in a Groundhog Day, where you like the movie Groundhog Day, where you repeat the same day over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. They wanted my panel to be one of the things that was happening to them during the Groundhog
Day. Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that. Apparently I am a drunken panel master as well.
Skee-ball and panels.
So skee-ball and panels. Two essential life skills. Mm-hmm. So I think we've probably just about run out of time. How are we looking, Fess?
We're like at least an hour and 25 minutes.
Probably. Yeah. probably should wrap this up sometime soon, then.
I'm laying on my floor. You don't know me. I'm not finished yet.
Last call.
We
don't have to go home, but you can't
for
stay
like
here.
Another hour.
I'm already laying on my floor with a slice of cheesecake. I don't know about you.
I love you guys so much. I never tell you guys this, but you're just awesome.
All right. Give me the keys.
So once again, just a quick disclaimer. Don't actually try the drinking game. You will die.
Replace it with non-alcoholic beverages.
Or like, you know,
well,
really
I'm not
crappy
sure.
beer.
Well, then again, you might get water poisoning if you use water.
We're going to get water poisoning at work.
There's no way to win at this game. It's a lose-lose situation.
But yeah,
Adam, please take us out, Adam.
Anything else that we've discussed that we want to disclaimer real quick before we go?
Use caution when listening to...
Just you.
Pregnant
do not
people
operate
should not
heavy machinery.
And always podcast responsibly.
Pregnant women always should not be exposed to this podcast.
So, this has been the Tropecast, one of the many, many tentacled arms of the, what are we calling it now?
The Webcast Beacon Network.
Webcast Beacon Network. It's the Webcast Beacon Network. Bringing you all sorts of interesting things as we come up with them. I am Adam Smithy of theappleofdiscord.com and several other things which you can find from there.
I am Alex Heberling of alexesguide.net.
I'm Melissa Kircher of the Geek Life podcast at thegeeklife.tv.
I'm Liz Daly of adrastus.comicdish.com.
And I'm Fess of Too Many Things to List.com.
And drink.
Okay, now which button stops this? How do I turn this off?
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.
At least in the United States, it's Mother's Day, so if you're listening to this now, and you can, you should probably go call your mother. And if this is still on the podcast as of Thursday, you missed Mother's Day. You're a horrible child.